Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. In the first phrase of verse 17, there's a word that calls us to focus our attention backward, and is the word therefore. This word calls our minds back to what Paul has been teaching us about our high calling in Christ, because we have been given all the benefits that is mentioned in verses 1 through 16, we are not to be like the lost. Like the lost pagan world around us. What benefits was Paul talking about? Our salvation by grace through faith. Our unity in the body of Christ. Our unique gifting by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord and His church for His glory, are being built up through the ministries of gifted individuals in the church. Because we have been given all of these advantages and made the partaker of such gifts from God, we are to walk in a manner that is different from the world around us. In the verses that are before us today, we are called to walk in a new life. We're to walk differently. We are to walk worthy. We are to no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. For the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, all things have become new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as a result of the new birth, we are not what we used to be. And we can no longer live like we used to live. We have been changed. Thus, we are different from the world around us. Paul's challenge here is to mark the differences between the children of God and the children of Satan. If you're a child of God, you certainly know the difference between now being a child of God and before when you were a child of Satan. If you don't know the difference, you're probably not a child of God. There should be a marked difference in your life. You once were one way, and now you are a new way. You once were an old creature, now you have become a new creature. As Christ said, you must be born again. You know that being born again, something has happened. In our text, Paul is making the distinctions between the saved and the lost. We're to be different. Paul, matter of fact, speaks of three specific problems that characterize the lost. In verse 17, we see that there's a problem with people's heads. It says in verse 17, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their minds, the futility or the vanity of their minds, emptiness, that which is wasted or nothing. People in the world think they're so smart, and the Lord says that your mind is as nothing concerning spiritual matters. The lost around us live empty lives because their minds are corrupted by the inborn sin that dwells within them. Thus, every thought is corrupted by evil. The lost mind invents ways to serve the flesh or the selfish desires of the mind. The lost mind invents false gods, false religions, false philosophies that are designed to showcase man's brilliance, yet the inventions of the lost mind are empty of anything helpful. And they ultimately are damning to the soul of men and women. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My friend, are you lost, dead in your sins and trespasses? And there's a way that seems right to you, but the scripture says the end thereof is the way of death. In Romans 1:28, Paul tells us that the lost person possesses a reprobate mind or a depraved mind. This word was used to describe metals that were tested and rejected by refiners because they were too impure. The word came to mean useless and worthless. What an indictment in our text today of lost men and women. The unbeliever has a problem, and that problem is in his mind. His mind is depraved, and it is capable of producing nothing but thoughts that are useless and worthless. Because we are saved, we're to be different. That's why the world says, brethren, I beseech you, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice to the Lord, your mind being transformed, your mind being renewed. Let me go there for you. Romans 12, very important verse. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't crazy talk, Paul said. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See? You're to be transformed. You're not to be conformed to the world, thinking like the world, acting like the world. You're to be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. What you believe will manifest itself in your actions. Your actions always betray your beliefs. And it says that those that are lost have a reprobate mind, a depraved mind. They walk in the vanity, the futility of their minds. So as a new creature, we have to walk in newness of life, and the way that is done, first of all, is by renewing your mind. Before you lived according to this world, whatever the TV, computer, newspapers, books you read in university or school, people around you, all of that is what shapes your mind. You become a child of God, then all of a sudden you're to read the scripture. And in the scripture you find the mind of God. And as you submit and yield your mind to his mind, you become more Christ-like. We are to renew our minds. And not only are their minds depraved, but it says their understanding is darkened in verse 18 of our text because of the blindness of their heart. Their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Their understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That word blindness refers to stubbornness. Stubborn. It speaks of a heart confronted with the truth, but which refuses to embrace that truth. This is what Paul refers to in Romans 1:18 when he mentions those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold in the verse means to oppress. It speaks of those who hear the truth and know the truth, but who refuse to acknowledge and embrace the truth. Problem with the understanding. Problem with the mind. Problem with the heart. And because of the stubbornness of people's hearts, get separated from a life that could be theirs in Christ Jesus, and they remain trapped in the darkness and depravity of their condition. And whether we like it or not, the lost, the scripture says, is dead in sins and trespasses. The human race did not merely get sick when Adam sinned. The scripture says it died. In that dead and depraved state, the lost live for nothing but to gratify the lust of the flesh and of the mind. Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3 says, listen, let me start at verse 1 of Ephesians 2. And you he made alive, notice, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Brothers and sisters, this was your condition. My friend, if you are not a child of God, this is your condition, dead, trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. See, the child of God, new creature, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See, that's who we were, verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and notice, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. My friend, if you are lost, the scripture says you are in a dangerous place. By nature, you are a child of wrath. And brothers and sisters, we being children of God, what great love has the Father showed us, who is rich in mercy, and showed us this great love. What should be our response? Back to our text. In the state that people are, it says their understanding is darkened. Darkened. Having their understanding darkened. That phrase is a perfect participle. This means that the lost live in a continuing state of spiritual darkness and ignorance towards the things of God. Thus, since they are dead, they are unresponsive to the things of God. They're like a cold, immobile corpse, which can neither see, hear, feel, or think. They are dead because they are, notice what the text says, alienated from the life of God. They're unmoved by the truth. They're unfazed by matters of right and wrong. They love the dark and they pursue the works of darkness. Because we're saved, we are to be different. Because we are saved, the very life of God defines us and empowers us. We're to be different, brothers and sisters, because we are different. If you are a child of God, you have a new heart. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you. The law of Christ has been written on your heart. You are a new creature. And 1 John 1:7 tells us, walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. We're not in darkness as the world is. Now you know the truth. And as the scripture says, the truth shall set you free. The world throws that verse around very flippantly. But to the child of God, that's a beautiful verse. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Walk in the light, as Christ is in the light. We're not like the world around us, so we cannot live like them. Verse 17 tells us, not only do they have a problem with the head and the heart, but they have a problem with their hands. Verse 19, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. All uncleanness with greediness. Because the lost are dead, they're said to be past feeling. That phrase means that they have lost their sense of pain. Their consciences have been seared. It is used in the sense of not being bothered in their consciences by the things they do. They're like the leper who suffers horrible disfigurement and loss of fingers, toes, and other extremities because their ability to feel pain is taken away. Thus, they do not know they've been hurt, and their injuries, they fester and they destroy their lives. The lost sinner commits his life to evil. And as he does, he loses his sensitivity towards sin. This leads them to ever deepening levels of wickedness. They yield their lives to lasciviousness, it says in our text. We don't use that word much today. Lasciviousness or lewdness. This word speaks of wanton sensuality, sexuality. It is an attitude that says, I will do what I please, when I please, with whom I please, and I don't care what anyone says or thinks about it. It's a life that's given over to open sin. And it's actually a judgment of God. In Romans 1 it says, and God gave them over. He gave them over. He gave them up. God basically said, if you want to live a life of wickedness, if you want to change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, if you want to exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, then I, God Almighty, will give you up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what it was against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, notice, in their mind, in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Brothers and sisters, you who would not be a child of God, do you see how scary that is? That God Almighty would give you over to a debased mind. And if you are a child of God, what praise and worship and thankfulness that should cause to rise up in your spirit because God Almighty saved you out of that. A debased mind being filled with all unrighteousness. Wow. The sinner works all uncleanness, it says in the text, back in Ephesians. The word work means to work hard, to take pains, to do your best at it. Uncleanness speaks of impurity and rottenness. This idea is that the lost person works hard at his sin. He loves his sin. It's just what the scripture says. That's the reason why you won't come to Christ. You love your sin. That's what it says in the book of John. They will not come because they love their sin. You've given yourself actively to the pursuit of rottenness. You're doing your best to be as bad as you can be. The lost all around us work themselves to death in the pursuit of their pleasure, never realizing that their wickedness and corruption is doing nothing but increasing their guilt in the eyes of a holy God. This is a scary text before us. They are past feeling and they don't care. Verse 19. Who being past feeling. Wow. This is the way God sees the world. This is his indictment of the world. And see, and notice why they do it all. They do it all to work all uncleanness, the end of verse 19. To work all uncleanness, notice, with greediness. This simply means that the unbeliever does what he does for self-gratification. In other words, you are your own God, and you live your life to worship yourself. And all those people, all those things around you, is just all part of the little kingdom of yourself. You sit on the throne. You think you rule and reign over the things in this world. And in actuality, the things in this world are ruling and reigning over you. Because the scripture says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's the question we're all faced with today. Where do you find yourself today? Are you in the process of trying to gain this whole world and forfeiting your soul? Are you in the process of not walking like this world? Because your world, your home, is somewhere else. The scripture says that believers are seated in heavenly places. And I would ask the question to the child of God, why are you so consumed by this world? Why do you love this world so much? The scripture says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you're loving the world and the things of this world and the pursuits of this world, brothers and sisters, you need to repent of your sin. Throw those idols down, throw them away, walk away from them, and worship God Almighty with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's our command, brothers and sisters. That's what Christ has told us. Love Him, all mind, heart, soul, and strength. That's to be your business. That's to be our business. It ain't supposed to be our business in the text. Walking like the world, thinking like the world, feelings like the world. If you're pursuing the world, repent. If you're not a child of God, then you need to repent. You need to become a child of God. I mean, look at the indictment in this text. That's some scary stuff. That's why the scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of the wisdom. If I read this stuff to you and that don't scare you, you, my friend, this is in serious trouble. You are in serious trouble. It would seem to me to indicate that you're being past feeling. But the good news is that God was merciful enough that you would hear this message. That you have right before you the opportunity to repent. Throw down your weapons. The scripture says that as an unbeliever, you're an enemy of God. You're without strength, you're a sinner, and you're His enemy. But the good news is He has sent His men and women out into this world as ambassadors, ambassadors of reconciliation, telling the world that in Christ Jesus, He will not count your sins against you. If you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you a pardon. Christ pays for the wages of your sin if you will repent and believe. That's it. Either He paid for your sin or you're going to pay for your sin. That's it. That's yin and yang. That's zero and one. That's up and down, left and right, black and white. You're either going to be dead in Adam or alive in Christ. Which shall it be today? Which shall it be today? And Father, I would pray that you would grant repentance to those that have never believed, and that you would grant repentance to the church that has pursued the world and the things of this world, that we would repent and follow you with all of our heart, that we would walk in the light, even as Christ is in the light.